I wonder if you have a favourite meal. I asked this question at a primary school a little while ago, and I got some very varied answers. Everything from curry to pizza, which you might expect, to Marmite. Now, last week, as part of my birthday celebrations, Kate and I had some very nice food, including some where a restaurant had done all of the hard preparation work, and we simply had to heat and assemble. Sometimes meals are special. Sometimes they're simply because we need to eat. But no matter how good the meal, how much we eat, how good the quality of the food is, or how pretty the plate is, sooner or later, we are hungry again. So let's pray. Jesus, true and living bread, as we break open your word, by your Spirit, fill our hearts, minds, and souls with the bread that satisfies. Amen. Well, as Christine's already mentioned, this Sunday is the first Sunday of Lent, a season of the church year focused on penitence, preparation, and discipleship. And for our sermon series through Lent and into the joy of Easter, we're going to be looking together at some of the occasions within John's Gospel where Jesus says, "I am." Like the passage we just heard, Jesus makes statements throughout John's Gospel claiming to be something. "I am the light of the world. I am. I am the good shepherd. I am the way. I am the true vine. I am the resurrection," we'll look at on Easter morning. And today's theme, "I am the bread of life." For the early weeks of 2021, we've been thinking in various passages of the Old Testament, thinking about knowing God, the God who revealed himself to Moses as "I am who I am." I am. And here, Jesus picks up this designation for himself. And we'll see the response won't always be positive. So come with me to John chapter 6, where we'll see the significance of the sign, two responses, and then ask about our own sustenance. First, the significance of the sign. In the first part of the chapter, Jesus has engaged in some miraculous mass catering, and some of the crowd then seek him out. Jesus has crossed to the other side of the lake, walking on the water, but that's a different sermon. Jesus has already given their stomachs fill, and he wants their souls to be filled too. But what do we see from verse 26 if you look down in your Bibles? Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." Jesus suggests to the crowd that the reason they have followed him to the other side of the lake is not because they have truly seen the sign and recognized his power and his authority, who he really is, but because they ate the loaves and they had their fill, and actually their supper was quite nice. So we're now able to listen in to Jesus expounding, explaining what has taken place and its significance. In verse 27, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Verse 35, "Then Jesus declared, 'I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty.'" Verse 40, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." Jesus gives this food and is this food. The miraculous provision of bread the previous day is provided, it's provided material, physical bread. But a deeper sign is of lasting, eternal life. Some scholars suggest that the reading for the day in the synagogue may have been that story of manna from Exodus chapter 16. And so when Jesus stands up in the synagogue to speak, he combines the themes of his own miraculous work with the set reading for that day. The past work of God through Moses and Jesus' work in John chapter 6. The claim here is staggering. This food that gives life is found in the person who is speaking in the synagogue. This is not a case of under-promising and over-delivering. Jesus speaks with authority, speaks the truth in his claim that in him will be found eternal life, which is guaranteed by, which is sealed by the Father. Jesus the Son is undertaking the mission given to him by his Father. Listen to what Robert Raymond writes about life in John's Gospel, eternal life. He says, when Jesus speaks of eternal life, he means life proper to the age to come, which includes more than life indeterminate of duration. It includes a quality of life as well. It is essentially communion with the only true God and Jesus Christ. Eternal life is not just talking about life that lasts forever, but life that is of quality and goodness and communion. The manna of the wilderness was a temporary fix for people's hunger, their physical hunger. The bread of Jesus is to be an eternal fix. There is a spiritual, a physical impact, quality of life, and life raised up at the last day. So this sign has huge significance. Jesus is making a big claim. Perhaps you've seen in TV dramas or films that moment when a character who is meant to be famous says to a bouncer or a waiter or a shop assistant, "Do you know who I am?" They think it highlights their status. But we know that basically it means the person serving them hasn't recognized them and doesn't know who they are. There's a possibly apocryphal story of a young curate in central London being invited to a drinks party. They started chatting to the first person that they bump into with the usual, "Well, what do you do?" kind of questions. And the reply comes back, I'm a musician, actually. I play the guitar." And taking the opportunity to be sympathetic and pastoral, the young curate expresses concern about the instability of the music industry and how it must be so hard to make ends meet. The musician admitted it wasn't that bad, actually, and the conversation moved on as someone else joined them. It was only later that the curate was informed he'd been speaking to Eric Clapton. Jesus is able to claim, "I am the bread of life," because he actually is. He alone can offer bread that satisfies. Just because people don't recognize him doesn't mean he's any less powerful or any less the Messiah. The religion of Jesus' day had many expressions, many different groups that emphasized a particular way of meeting with God. Some focused on rules, some withdrew from normal society. And the trade routes and the occupation of the Roman Empire brought contact with other religions where many gods were worshipped. Later in the Bible, in the book of Acts, we even have an altar which is found dedicated to an unknown god as Paul's on his missionary journeys. Jesus' message is clear. Do not look for other things for spiritual fulfillment. Don't concern yourself with each new spiritual fad. Follow me. Therefore, the acid test of a church's faithfulness is how much they are in love with Jesus. This sign has significance not just for John's chapter 6, but for us today. But what are the two responses in the passage first? They might help us think how we respond. In verse 33, Jesus says, "For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." The members of the crowd, remember, have had their fill. They've eaten the loaves. They've followed Jesus. They've heard him explaining the bread of life. But they still don't get it. They're still looking for actual bread. But Jesus has told them the response God looks for is faith and trust in him. They've been focused on the role of Moses in the past, and they want to see a new Moses meet their needs performing miracles. Moses performs signs to show God was with him. Surely the least we can expect if you are here, Jesus, claiming to do God's work, is a sign. Some more bread. A response that misses the mark, like the woman at the well in chapter 4, who in her response to Jesus' words about living water initially says, "Sir, give me this water." So Jesus goes on to make himself even more explicit about this giving of himself, the eternal nature of this bread. In verse 40, Jesus says, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." And what's the response in verse 41? "At this, the Jews there began to grumble about him, because he said, 'I am the bread that came down from heaven.' They said, 'Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven?'" There is grumbling about Jesus' identity. He can't possibly be who he claims to be. Can you hear the sneers? "I know exactly who his parents are. I know exactly who he is. I know where he's from. Does anything good ever come from Nazareth?" The grumblers are tying Jesus' identity to their limited knowledge of who he is. These claims are revolutionary, dangerous even, and surely they can't be true if they are spoken by the son of Joseph and Mary. Well, in response, rather than meeting their low expectations and their grumbling, Jesus goes full throttle. In my mind, I picture Jesus in a room full of older men, and he instructs them, "Do not grumble among yourselves." Grumbling against God or against his leaders has been a feature of the life of the people of God for generations, particularly seen in the stories of those wilderness wanderings with Moses. So Jesus challenges both of these responses. The first, he says, don't just go after the sign, go after the one to whom the sign points. To the second, don't grumble. Rejoice in God's provision. Look to me and find life. See where God is at work today. So what do these verses have to say to us this morning? How will knowing Jesus is the bread of life change the way we live this week? Where are you looking for hope for life? Jesus calls us to look to him, not to be distracted by anything else, even with the signs of God at work. Don't get too obsessed with the sign. Use the sign to see Jesus. Whatever you face this week, the life of Jesus can, by the power of the Holy Spirit, be at work within you. This bread of life offers both eternal life and food for the journey. The way we live on earth will be governed by our view of eternal life. And if we do take Jesus seriously, then we will want to live well. We'll want to search out Christian community to belong to, so that we will not be those who are constantly spiritually hungry, but that we will find our fulfillment in the person of Christ. You might say, well, I don't feel worthy enough to come and eat, to find a space at the table. But Jesus says, come, follow me. I am the bread of life. So what do? We open God's word, the Bible, so that Jesus walks off the pages. We pray for one another and for our world that we might see God at work and give thanks. We gather around the Lord's table so that we are drawn into the life of God who has been at work in the past, supremely in the cross work of Christ, is at work in the present, speaking in bread and wine of his welcome to those who trust and love him, and will be at work as the table points forward to a heavenly banquet. I don't know what you're focused on at the moment, where you're looking for sustenance, be that the easing of restrictions, an addiction, grumbling, your own self, whatever it is. St. Augustine, writing in the 5th century, writes this: our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you, O Lord. Perhaps today we could say, our souls are hungry till they find their fill in you, O Lord. Amen.